Very good. All right, take our Bibles tonight and go to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 33. Psalm 33. We'll read the entire chapter, but then we'll only be in the last three verses. Psalm 33, starting at verse number 1. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him with a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He bringeth the devices of the people of none effect, or he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose Lord is, or whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There's no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we've trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we ask that you would bless our time together this evening. Father, I ask that you would guide us according to your will tonight. Again, establish our thoughts. Father, you said if we would commit our ways unto you, that our thoughts would be established. And we definitely want to commit this hour unto you. Father, I ask that you would establish our thoughts, that, Lord, you would guide us. Through the scriptures, I pray again that, Father, that we would be encouraged, we'd be encouraged, challenged, convicted. Lord, whatever your will is for each of us tonight through your word, that, Father, we'd walk away having received exactly what you wanted us to have. And, Father, we would just meditate upon the scriptures and meditate upon the things you speak to our hearts about tonight. Father, I ask that you would continue to guide us. And as always, we want you to be glorified. We want Christ to be lifted up. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When you think about trusting the Lord, you can definitely think about trusting with joy, because you know when you trust the Lord, it's all going to work out exactly the way he wants it to work out. You know that he's going to keep a hedge of protection around you. And as David even writes in this psalm, verse 17, he says, a horse is a vain thing. Verse 16, he says, no king is saved by a multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Verse 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Now, you think about what David is saying, I believe by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is the fact that God is the ultimate safety. He's the ultimate protector. He's the ultimate deliverer. Many people will put their faith and trust in different things for safety. And we're even going to look at Acts chapter 27 in a minute with Paul in the midst of a storm. And it seems like only Paul, out of all the people on the ship, he's the only one that went and spent time with the Lord. And he knows that God is going to protect them. But again, each and every day of our life, we want to be reminded that our help is from the Lord. Now, God does give wisdom. He gives abilities to others. I mean, I just think about, you know, doctors. Have the ability, as I think about even the surgeon that my family is very familiar with that has operated on several of our children when they were younger, on their kidneys. and just how he had the ability to do that. I mean, he went to school, he studied, and I believe with all my heart, God gave him the ability, helped him to learn to be a great surgeon in his field. But it's still God. It's still God that directs the affairs of men. It's still God that helps us to accomplish anything and helps us not to become afraid, not to be sidetracked, not to allow fear to grip us and for us to be troubled by the cares of this world. Again, in verse number one, he starts off by saying, rejoice in the Lord. And that is the number one thing that we need to do every day is rejoice in the Lord. That should be part of our day. That should be part of even our morning routine as we wake up and as you read your devotions, as you spend time in prayer before your day even starts, that you rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the fact that you have the God of heaven on your side watching over you, and already he sees what your day has. He knows what's going to happen, and he's already got protection around you. When you look at verse 21 through 22, I want to break these three verses down for us tonight as we just think about fully trusting with joy. Fully trusting the Lord with joy, knowing he is fully in control. He ends the psalm by saying, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we've trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Think about the holy name that you and I trust in, and that name is Jesus Christ. What does that name mean to you? And think about it and answer it to yourself. What does that name mean to you? Obviously, that name means salvation. That name means a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That name means he has all power. There's nothing to worry about. That name means he is our intercessor. He prays for us. He knows us by name, and he knows, even when we speak, he knows our voice. We know his voice when he speaks to us. As you think of verse 20, David says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. I don't know if you've ever been anxious in your life and you made a decision based on your anxiousness, but God wants us to always wait on him, because sometimes when we're feeling anxious in life and we think that the decision that we're about to make is the best decision, we're really basing it on our feeling. And God never wants us to make decisions based on how we feel, but he wants us to wait on him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to pray, and he wants us to be guided by him, because God will never fail us. He will always guide us if we'll seek him, but sometimes we do have to wait on him. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. Just that first segment, and God does not want us, you think about our soul waiting. Waiting on the Lord, he does not want us to be worried. He doesn't want us to be scared. Doesn't want us to be anxious or troubled. He wants us to rely upon him. Look at Acts chapter 27. Acts 27. Sometimes we think that someone who is seemingly not going through any hardship or any difficulty, sure, it's easy for them to say, wait on the Lord. And sometimes when someone even tells us, you know, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, we may even think to ourselves, yeah, okay, whatever, you're not in my shoes, you're not in my boat, you don't know what I'm going through, you don't understand. But yet we all have our moments in life, and Paul had several moments in his life where he had to wait on the Lord, and he was in the midst of a storm, surrounded by those that spoke of killing those on the ship, lest they would escape. Paul here in Acts 27, he's on a Roman ship. He's headed to Rome as a prisoner. And remember, he kind of warned them in verse, we'll start at verse number 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall in the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. I mean, so far, they supposed that they had gained what they wanted, a soft wind blowing for the ship, and not soon after, the storm arises and starts making havoc upon the ship. They have to stop. They've got to kind of gird it up. They've got to put helps on her to kind of keep the boat from falling apart. All right. And then they're going on. Verse 18, and we, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest the next day, they lightened the ship, started tossing out tackle, anything they could to cause the ship to be a little lighter. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Everybody had lost hope. Lost hope that the storm would cease. Lost hope they'd ever see the sun again. They lost hope that they would even see their families again, that they would even get off the ship alive. But, verse 21, after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them, and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gathered this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as I was told, or even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. So we think just our soul waiting upon the Lord, though everybody else had lost hope, everybody else was frantic, yet Paul had been encouraged by the Lord. Now, Paul had spent some time in prayer, and that's part of waiting on God, is spending time in prayer and seeking God. Again, things in life in this world are going to get worse and worse, but it should never get to the point where God's people stop waiting on God, stop praying, and stop being encouraged by the Lord. Now, Paul had an angel of the Lord speaking to him, and you and I have the Word of God that speaks to us that we can go to get encouragement. So as David says in Psalm 33, our soul waiteth for the Lord. If Paul was not worried. And especially he was not worried after the Lord told him, you must go to Rome. He wasn't there yet. And the Lord told him that you got to go to some other island first. And God used the storm to get him to that island. I mean, you know the rest of the story. They strike sail. They go again. They run into foreground. The ship breaks apart. They swim to this island. Paul ends up getting bit by a poisonous snake while trying to build a fire and help keep people warm. He ends up helping the barbarians of the island. He heals Publius's father, all these things, and just Paul does a great work there. And he continues on as a prisoner headed to Rome, political prisoner at this time. But again, he was told by God that he would not die. Nobody on the ship would die. Paul was not worried about what was going to happen. I mean, think about this. Even after getting bitten by the poisonous snake, when you read that account, he just shakes it off. He keeps right on serving. He believes God's word that he's going to go to Rome, that whatever happens between point A and point B, God's going to protect him. There'll be some difficulties. There'll be some hardships. You might even get hurt along the way because that's life, but God is still in control and God's still watching, and we can wait on the Lord and we can have encouragement in our soul because we are waiting on the one who never fails and the one who always comes through, the one whose word we can always trust. Look at Psalm 130. Verses 5 and 6. So Psalm 130, verse 5 and 6. The Bible says, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Remember back in Acts 27, they cast out four anchors and wished for the day. I mean, they were waiting for morning time. Because it seems like in the night, things can seem kind of dreary. It seems like the night can drag on when you're wide awake and just, you know, you're wanting God to help. You're wanting God to come through. Can you imagine being on the Mediterranean Sea in the midst of a storm? And okay, Paul encourages these men with the word of God. He encourages them, you know, you're not going to lose your life. And we didn't read it, but he encouraged them in the morning to eat, to gather strength so they can swim. But here they are, you know, through the night, and then they're wishing for the day. Oh, I can't wait for the sun to come up. Because it just seems like when the sun comes up, things change. Even seems like the mindset changes when there's a new day. But our mindset should change when we see the Son of God. Spiritually, when we see the Son of God in our life, and we know he's promised us never to leave us nor forsake us. He's always there. He never changes. He's with us. He's guiding us. And as the psalmist says in Psalm 130, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. You will, throughout your life, and maybe even now, be surrounded by those that do not trust God's word, that even while you're trying to be positive through God's word, they're being negative around you. And if you allow it, that can take a toll on you. Now, with Paul, he had some companions that were traveling with him. But you think about the Roman soldiers, you think about the centurion, you think about the shipmaster, the sailors, the other prisoners that had all lost hope. And Paul's trying to be an encouragement. He's trying to say, hey, God spoke to me tonight. The one I serve, the one who watches over me, the one who I belong to. And I guarantee you they weren't all like, oh, okay, great. Thanks, Paul. There's always mockers and those that want to be critical. So I can imagine that Paul had some on that ship that even though he was encouraging them, probably under their breath or maybe even out loud, they would say, okay, where's your God? Because look at the storm we're in. But even Paul remembers them. I told you if we set sail, there's going to be damage that, you know what, there's going to be a storm. But again, even though you have those that may mock your faith and those that may criticize you waiting on the Lord, don't let that deter you from continuing to wait on the Lord and to continue trusting God's word. And sometimes it's not even a person per se, but in your mind, the devil wants to plant thoughts of doubt. Again, they've cast out four anchors. They're wishing for the day, and Paul is secure. He's like, oh, when the sun comes up, we'll see, because God's already told me that everything's going to be fine. No one's going to lose their life. Only the ship's going to be wrecked. And Paul was trusting the Lord because up to this point, Paul had seen God miraculously protect him time and time again. Remember, Paul was stoned and left for dead, but when he regained consciousness, he kept right on trusting the Lord and following the Lord's will for his life. Go back to Psalm 33 and look at the second part of verse 20. And like I even said, you know, fully trusting the Lord with joy. Again, Paul being on a ship as a prisoner, Paul being in the same storm, Paul's going to have to swim to shore. I mean, he's experiencing the same storm that these other men are, but he has joy because he's got God in his life. He knows the one who holds his life in the palm of his hand. So we can have joy, and we should have joy. Because you know what? That is one of the greatest testimonies to those that don't know Christ, is to see us in the same boat with them and yet having joy because we know who's in control. Who's in control of this world? I mean, there are some evil, wicked things going on. There are some evil, wicked people. in control around this world, but God's still in control. And he uses all of it for good. And he is a righteous judge, and the judge of all the earth shall do right. And you and I cannot allow ourselves to ever lose hope in God, who's always faithful. No matter what happens in our life, no matter what happens in your own home, how tough things get, remember, God is on your side. Now, in verse 20, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Again, it's very important that we think about the words the psalmist used. He didn't just say, we wait for the Lord, but our soul. Because you know what? Many people can look calm on the outside, but on the inside, they're not calm. They're freaked out. They're scared. They're worried. But on the outside, they want people to think they have it all together when they don't. That's why our soul waits for the Lord, because God gives us an inner peace. He gives us an inner relaxation where we're trusting in the Lord because the Prince of Peace is in control of our life. Again, he says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. God is our help and our shield. Look at a couple of verses. Look at Isaiah chapter 41 in regards to God being our help. So Isaiah 41, look at verse number 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. It's a wonderful thing. All of Scripture is inspired by God. These are all of Scripture. Genesis, Revelation, it is God's word. But I love it when you actually read verses where God is specifically speaking. When God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'm glad that God does admit he's our God. Because you know your failures in life. You know where you have at different times probably not fully trusted the Lord. I know God can, but there's just a little hint of doubt, a little speck of doubt in that belief. Because we know that there's nothing God cannot do. But there's times where we wonder, will God do it? And I'm glad that God still confesses he's our God. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It is the Lord that upholds us many, many times. And no doubt he was helping Paul as Paul was a prisoner on that ship. And even though he was a prisoner, God encouraged him, your life's not going to be lost. You must go to Rome. I'm going to get you to Rome, so don't worry about it. And no one else is going to lose their life as well. Look at Psalm 121. So just know that even God wants to encourage you. I love the fact that we can hear from God, and God does speak to us. In Psalm 121, look at verses 1 through 3. The psalmist here says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Again, our true help does not come from man, does not come from our own abilities, but it comes from the Lord. My help, verse 2, cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Again, think about, well, I'll read verse 3. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Again, thinking back to Acts 27 and where Paul is, the sailors were trusting in their ability. Because when you read the beginning of that account, Paul again warned the centurion that he perceived this voyage would be with much hurt. And the Bible even records that it was during the time of winter storms. It was during the time where there were known storms that would come about, and ships have been wrecked, lives have been lost, and Paul said, hey, you know what, this could be a dangerous trip. And yet the shipmaster guaranteed the centurion, nope, everything's fine, we know exactly what we're doing. And I'm sure those sailors and shipmaster had been in storms before, just like Peter and the disciples, Peter, James, and John, fishermen. They had been in storms before on the Galilean Sea. But yet there are certain storms that do arise in life that are like none other. And you see those two storms that the disciples are in the days of Christ. You see the storm that arises, and they even give it a name, Euryclidon. It's a storm that they know. I mean, it's a storm that just rages on for days and days and days. And yet, when you think about Paul was encouraged by the Lord, yet others were trusting in their own ability until they got to the end of themselves, end of their rope, and realized, we're not getting out of this. And they lost all hope. But the child of God, the Bible believer, the follower of Christ should never lose hope. You'll be tempted to lose hope. You'll be tempted to question God. But we should always fall back. We should always fall back on the faithfulness of God, that God never fails. And God says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Look at Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Psalm 121. Again, I want to read verses 1 through 3. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Never forget to look to the one who is faithful, who never fails you. Look unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You'll be tempted to trust in yourself. You'll be tempted to trust in others. You'll be tempted to trust in past experiences. Now remember, past experiences are just that. They're past experiences to look back at and go, yes, I see where God helped me through that situation. I see where God was faithful. It's never look back and, oh yeah, I see what I did. Because we will fail ourselves, but God never fails. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. When others are being tossed about, God will keep your feet firmly planted upon the rock of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave that illustration, I believe it was in the book of Matthew. Two builders building houses, and one builder built his house upon the sand. And when a storm came and vehemently beat upon it, the winds blew, the rains came, the flood lift came, the house fell. And it was a great fall, great crash. I mean, destroyed the foundations, destroyed the house. But then the second builder built his house upon a rock. The same type of storm came, and yet that house weathered the storm. That house made it through the storm. And obviously, Jesus giving that illustration that he is the rock. And if we want to weather the storms of life, we've got to build our life upon that foundation that never moves, that foundation that cannot be destroyed, the foundation that never crumbles, and that's Jesus Christ. He is our help, and we can always look to him. If you would look at Psalm 33 again, verse 20. All right, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help. And then he says, and our shield. He's our help. He's always there. We can always look to him. We can always call upon him. He's always there. He's one prayer away from helping us. And he's always ready. He's always got the right answer. It's not that he hears our prayers and says, okay, I'll get back to you when I come up with a solution. He's already got the solution before we even get to the point of needing to pray because we are in a storm. But the psalmist reminds us that not only is God our help, but he is our shield. He's our defense. He watches over us and protects us. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Sometimes too, as I'm thinking about Paul, sometimes we do pray for God to take away the storm. Take away the difficulty. Change it, Lord. Because we know there's nothing God cannot do. We know that Jesus can arise and say, peace be still. And the storm ceases. The waves calm. The sea becomes like glass, not a ripple. But yet there's times where he allows the storm to continue raging, like in Peter's life when Peter walked on water. He didn't stop the storm until they were back in the boat. But Peter walked on water in the midst of a storm. He sank in the same storm, but then he was lifted up by the hand of Jesus, and they walked back to the boat. But Paul, though he prayed, and he was encouraged by the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, yet the storm still raged. They waited until morning. They set sail again. They drive the ship into ground. The ship's broken up. Everyone jumps out. They swim to the island. Not a single soul is lost. And sometimes we wonder, why didn't God just do it the way I was praying? Why didn't God just take the storm away, allow the ship just to gently be able to be anchored somewhere, and them all just swim out to the island, or even, you know, take the lifeboats? But the lifeboats had been cut off because you read, and the soldiers, the sailors wanted to, you know, escape in the night and leave everybody else to fend for themselves. But again, sometimes, you know, God does answer our prayers, and we've got to be sober-minded. We got to be vigilant. We've got to understand that God's ways are never our way. God knows exactly how he's doing. You probably heard the story of the man that was shipwrecked out in the ocean, and he's floating there, and he's praying that God helps him. He's praying that God would deliver him. And God sends a boat. Someone comes by in another boat, and he calls out, "No, never mind, God's going to save me." So they leave. A helicopter comes and tries to rescue him. He's, no, God's going to save me. And then he finally drowns and dies. And when he gets to heaven, he asks God, "God, why didn't you save me?" God says, "Well, I sent you a boat. I sent you a helicopter." Sometimes we are expecting God to do it the way we're praying, when God's way is better. And that's what we got to remind ourselves when we pray and ask God to help, that sometimes God knows the best way to do it. And when he does it, if he allows the storm to continue raging, it's for a reason. And in Paul's case, God was getting that ship off course, because they were on a course to Rome, and God had to. When you look at the map, they went to the island of Melita, which was southwest of Rome, southwest of the tip of Italy. And God had to get them off course to get Paul to that island. So sometimes, you know, God does allow things to get us on his course where he wants us to go. But God is always our shield. God will always protect us. And the best place to be is in the center of God's will, even if that means being surrounded by seemingly uncertainties. But we know what is certain, that God is in control. But Proverbs chapter 30, look at verse number 5. Proverbs 30 and verse number 5. "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him." All throughout Scripture, you can see where men and women have put their trust in God, and God protected them. Whenever I think about this shield, David being the writer of Psalm 33, David going out to fight a giant with nothing but a sling and 5 rocks. And here's a giant who has full armor on. He's got a sword. He's got a spear. He's got another man who's going before him with a shield. And yet, David goes out there and says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." God is our shield. His name is our shield. We can hide behind the Lord and know that we are fully protected. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16 tells us, above all, speaking about the armor of God, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And God wants us to take that shield of faith, and that faith being placed in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the one that defeated the devil. And there are times where God will allow the devil to cause storms in our life. He uses those in our life for good. The Bible warns us that we have an adversary that walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And yet the shield of faith is what we can hide behind. That shield that God's given us. Our faith in him if Jesus Christ conquered the devil, he said our faith would conquer the world. And it's by the word of God. It's what Jesus used. Now, look with me. Go back, if you would, to Acts 27. Verses 39 through 44. So Acts 27, verse 39 through 44. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So the storm is still raging, but yet they made it where God wanted them to go. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. I mean, even God gave Paul favor in the eyes of the centurion. And God does give us favor in the eyes of men. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that I received favor in the eyes of men that helped save my job. Because just trusting the Lord. I mean, again, there's all types of different storms, and sometimes it's a storm in the job where you have a boss that hates you and wants to fire you, and he has no good reason. And he's going to fire you, and you show up just, okay. You go in to gather your things, not knowing what's going on. You walk in. There's somebody sitting in his seat, in his office. And then someone comes out in the warehouse and says, hey, so-and-so's walking down the road, which was the name of my boss. I'm like, what? Yeah. And I get called into that office. And it's the CEO of the company who had found out some things about my boss that were not right in the company and fired him. And I ended up getting promoted, not to his position, but to another position. I mean, in fact, God does take care. God does shield us. And sometimes, you know, things happen, but God is in control. And we've got to trust the Lord and just remember that God is our shield. But he goes on to say here, he gave Paul favor in the eyes of the centurion, though the soldiers wanted to kill all the prisoners because they knew if we lost any prisoners, the rule was that the soldier would die for the prisoners he lost or the prisoners that escaped. But centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, commanded that they, which could swim, should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. God was protecting Paul, and Paul was shielding himself with the promise of God that God said no life would be lost, everybody would be saved, even though those on the ship were wanting to kill them, yet Paul was trusting God. It's okay. I don't know if you ever did this when you were a child, probably, because most children do. When they're scared, they usually hide behind their parent. And usually it's hiding behind the legs of their father, because their father seems like the greatest and mightiest man in the world, right? Superman. Nothing can penetrate dad, so the child hides behind the father's legs. And that's what we do spiritually, hide behind the Lord. Because again, he's our protector. He's our shield. There's nothing that can happen to us that God does not allow for good. Very quickly, we've got just a few minutes left. Look at Psalm 33 again. Look at verse 21. So we still got 21 and 22 to get through, and we should be able to in the next 10 minutes. So verse 21, "For our heart shall rejoice in him because we've trusted in his holy name." And no doubt Paul was rejoicing in the Lord that God had protected them, that even though they had to swim, again, why didn't God just allow them not to have to swim? Why didn't God do it a different way? So again, what builds faith? It's actually having to go through trials. It's actually having to trust the Lord. Because if there were never any difficulties in life, we'd find no reason to trust God. We'd find no reason to hide behind God. We'd find no reason to follow God because, hey, I've never had a problem in my life. But God allows trouble so that we're reminded, I need the Lord. I need the Lord on my side. I need God to help me. Lord, give me strength, as Paul was given strength by Jesus Christ when he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, because in your weakness, then I'm strong. It's the strength of the Lord. Again, he says, for our heart shall rejoice in him, and oh, how we do. Hopefully, there's been times in your life where you've rejoiced in the Lord after he's brought you through a storm, after he's helped you. Maybe it wasn't even a difficult moment. Maybe you're just praying for an answer, praying for wisdom for something, and God gave you the wisdom, God gave you the answer, and you rejoiced in him. Never forget to rejoice in what God does in your life. Don't wait for the storm to get over before you rejoice. Even rejoice as you see yourself entering the storm, because you know, if he was in the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he's in the storm for me. If he's allowing me to go into the storm, like he sent his disciples into the storms on the Sea of Galilee, then he's going to be with me. He's going to guide me through it. He's going to build my faith. And I've got to keep my eyes on him and not doubt or question him like the disciples did. Master, carest thou not? No, he does care. He does care, and he's doing a work in your life, in my life, and our hearts can rejoice in him. And the end of verse 21 tells us why we can rejoice in him. Because we've trusted in his holy name. I can rejoice in the Lord because I've trusted in his holy name, that his name is faithful and true and he never fails. Look at Psalm 28. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Here David says in Psalm 27, verse 28, chapter 28, Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. He doesn't say, I hope the Lord is. He says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Again, you think about his heart trusted. His soul waited upon the Lord. He did not allow himself to become anxious and fearful and doubtful, but he allowed himself to just be calm in the peace of Christ that passeth all understanding. He allowed himself to rely on the Lord as his shield. The Lord is his strength. He trusted in him, and he was helped, and we're always helped. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Look back at verse 22 of Psalm 33. So verse 22 in Psalm 33, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. According as we hope in thee. Remember, mercy is not getting what we deserve, but it's also God's love, God's grace, and our acceptance with God. We don't deserve the love of God. We don't deserve his grace, but that's who he is. He's love, his grace, and then our acceptance, because we are accepted in the beloved. We are the children of God because of Jesus Christ. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Look at Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 13 and 14. Luke 18, verse 13. Jesus here speaking says, oh, you know what? Back up verse 9. And he, Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men, as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. So here you got the religious man who's trusting in himself, trusting in everything he does. He's thanking God. He's not like everybody else. He's thanking God that he's perfect. Yeah, he's full of pride because he doesn't realize how sinful he is and what a sinner he is, and that God actually is not listening to his prayer. God is resisting him because of pride. But verse 13, the publican, who was despised by many, because he was somebody that many times would take more, he would exact more from the people, the taxes that he was supposed to collect for the Roman government, and he would always try to exact more from the people so that he could put money in his own pocket. And yet this publican obviously understood that he was not good. He understood, I can't even look up. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Yet the publican, or the Pharisee, he was eyes open looking around. Thank you, Lord, that I'm so good. And thank you, I'm not like him. But the publican wouldn't even look up. Because you know what? When you come into the presence of God through prayer, we realize we're nothing. We realize we're nothing without God. That all that we are, it's only by the grace of God. Remember, Paul said, I am who I am by the grace of God. But Paul understood that he was nobody without Jesus Christ. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. See, God resists the pride, or the proud. He gives grace to the humble. And we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We're to never allow our situations to dictate if we're going to trust God, follow God, rely on God. We should always, we should already be determined in our heart, like Daniel was already purposed in his heart, that even before going down into Babylon, he was already purposed in his heart that he would never defile himself against God. He would always trust God. He would always follow God. He would always let God be his shield. I mean, even Daniel, living in Babylon, trusted God. And God protected Daniel, just like he protected Paul, just like he has protected you and me time and time again. Again, the sinner went away justified. He received grace and mercy that he desired from the Lord because he was trusting in the mercy of God. Back in Psalm 33, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. You know what? However much we hope in the Lord is exactly how much help you're going to get. If I'm not really hoping in God, not really trusting in God, then I can't expect to be helped. But if I have at least, Jesus said, just a grain of mustard seed faith, if I have just a little bit of faith, then God will bless. God will help. God will help. I'm always encouraged by the Father who said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. He had a little bit of faith, and Jesus helped him. He helped him. He helped his son as well. But we should never stay in that state. We should never stay at that point in our life where we just have a little bit of faith. Our faith should always be growing because we have seen time and time again in our life God always coming through, God always protecting, God always guiding, God's will always being accomplished in our life. Last place I want you to look is Psalm 13. in regards to what he said at the end of verse 22, according as we hope in thee. Psalm 13. Sometimes people give up way too soon on God, and they miss out on the blessing that was right around the corner. Again, Paul was just an ordinary man, and yet he saw God time and time again come through and protect him and bless him and get him from point A to point B, because God was in control. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we got to remind ourselves that, again, God is in control. He's even in control of governments. He raises up one and sets one down. God does not commit evil. Man commits evil. Every single person has a sin nature. Not everyone's trusting Jesus Christ. Not everyone is putting their faith and trust in Christ. Not all Christians are fully trusting God to help them, because they believe some of the lies have been planted in their head by the adversary. That's why it's important that we stay in the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God does. It's quick. It's living. It cuts to the chase. It shows us what the problem is. You know what? Whether it's doubt, whether it's unbelief, I'm not fully trusting the Lord for what he can do. Because we're thinking about all the times God didn't answer the prayer the way we were praying. Again, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But praise the Lord, we are in his thoughts, because he has thoughts of peace towards us to give us an expected end. Again, when you think about Paul in Acts 27, God brought it to an end. He brought them out of the storm. He brought them to the island where he wanted Paul to minister to some people. And then Paul goes on to Rome and he ministers there as a prisoner. But God is always doing a work in our life, and he wants us to faithfully trust him, to faithfully follow him, even when we don't understand. Again, look at Psalm 13. David here writes in verse number 5, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." What a wonderful statement that is. "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Even verse 6, "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." I don't know if you've ever just had something just work out so beautiful. Just whatever you were hoping for, it just worked out. Something just worked out for the best, and you just couldn't help but whistle or start singing because you were just so happy how it worked out. God wants us to sing his praises. God wants us to sing his praises because we've trusted in him and we have seen his help. Because we believe our help comes from God. We look unto the hills from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. So it's fully trusting with joy. Again, because that is what really helps us to be able to see with spiritual eyes the other side of the storm, the other side of the problem. Helps us to see, you know what? God will guide us through it. And while we sing his praises, man, he's glorified. And man, he just works even, I believe, better in our life when we rejoice in him before, during, and after the storm.